This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. It's real today to be joined by Matt Wolf and Rick Kess of RSM. They're doing special reports this week from HIMSS on what they're seeing with technology companies, things they're finding interesting, a little bit more. Matt, do you want to jump right in and tell us a little bit about what you're seeing at HIMSS, what's interesting, what's going on, and so forth, and then Rick, I'll ask you the same, really.
Yeah, happy to. Thanks for having us, Scott. I think one of the interesting trends that we're seeing is really a focus on using analytics and technology to drive clinical outcomes as a goal, as a metric, as a measurement of ROI. I think a lot of things are driving this, and one of that would be the continued march to value-based care. But you know, we've talked about value-based care for years and years, and I think people thought that there was going to be this watershed moment where everything was going to be in a bundled payment and everybody's going to be taking risk, and that's just not the case. But what we've been learning is that even, you know, small changes to the amount of value-based care really changes the economics of healthcare. And the Chartis Group did this great survey they presented on from healthcare executives, where they showed that over the next 5 years, they kind of expect value-based care bundled payments as a total percentage of reimbursement to go from about 32% to 40% of healthcare. But these same executives suggested that, well, in order for them to make their continued margin, they would need about a 10 to 12% increase in commercial reimbursement over that same time, which I think people see the writing on the wall and realize that's probably pretty unrealistic to get that kind of sustained reimbursement increase on the commercial side. And so I think that's really driving a lot of this focus on using analytics, using technology to improve those clinical outcomes, better understand what our systems are doing. So then we can be better at managing those value-based arrangements, and we don't have to rely on some kind of pie-in-the-sky hope for commercial reimbursement rate increases to remain a viable health system.
But talk for a moment about, because we've had recent conversations about AI-driven diagnostics, and not testing, not procedures, but really taking all the metadata about a patient in a situation, all the information, and improving upon it, the ability of an individual doctor to make a diagnosis, whether for cancer, whether for other things, the use of AI, precision medicine, and so forth, and that also pushing the engine of how good we get at diagnosing patients and deciding what they need, and also value-based care, because you're taking a little bit of, ultimately, some of the human component out of all that. What's your sense of what you're hearing about that? Because it seems to tie into what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. As you said, there is a big intersection there. And so radiology, when it comes to AI diagnosis, I think is still really the front runner. And there's been some incredible data and tests and use cases showing that AI in radiology, reading those scans, can help reduce the need for a second radiologist read, for example. And so you can still improve the detection rate, get better quality diagnoses from these images using less labor, which doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to not need radiologists, right? There's just already such a shortage. But if you can use that artificial intelligence to improve their ability to see patients and help spread that labor around to more patients who might need it more, that's just a win-win all around for the ecosystem.
Yes, and your point is well taken. Radiology has been way out in front of that. Then you have companies like Tempus in the oncology space trying to get out in front of it in oncology, sort of the front runner there. Rick, any companies or things that you're seeing at HIMSS that you wanted to comment on or add on to what Matt has been talking about?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things we saw a bit of was, you know, really two things, kind of the, you know, large, you know, Fortune 100 style companies, you know, that are moving into healthcare. You know, some of the incumbent organizations like Canon. Canon had a very huge display at HIMSS today, this week, and, you know, they're focused on, you know, digitizing processing a lot of images and making images available kind of remotely on any device across the health system. And, you know, the thing that struck me with the Canon was just obviously this company we all know that made a major acquisition last year, bought a company, and now is, you know, kind of going full force in healthcare. And obviously, you know, there's other that have done similar things, but, you know, you kind of take that for some interest, I think. And then the other one that we saw that I was interested in was DaVita Ventures. DaVita Ventures had three of their CEOs of their portfolio companies on a panel talking about, you know, what they're focused on. And they were very focused on disease management outside of dialysis. So there was a cardiology company, and there's another company that was focused on people that you have English as their second language. So, you know, they're looking at things that are outside of kind of their core competency, obviously, and trying to find ways to broaden their reach into healthcare. It was just an interesting conversation that we had the opportunity to listen to.
I mean, it's really fascinating to see, like, both the Chartis study that was mentioned earlier and companies like DaVita Ventures, you know, sort of like, and you've seen this with Fresenius, the other huge dialysis company, getting into cardiology, getting into other spaces, and trying to see, like, there's only so much growth in dialysis, although it's a steady state, cash flow business, great business, but trying to find other ways to enter the markets, to be part of the markets and find big growth opportunities. And it's fascinating to hear you talk about, you know, three different CEOs of DaVita Ventures, all outside of dialysis, and trying to really make, you know, see where they could find and make double-digit growth outside of dialysis. So interesting, isn't it? It's just such a huge healthcare space, and their hope being that they've got enough core competencies that could be used outside of dialysis to grow other businesses. So interesting. Rick, what else did you see that was particularly interesting to you?
Yeah, I think the other thing that was interesting to me is how many companies are here, you know, kind of demonstrating their technologies to automate something with, whether it's provider workflow or back office workflow. And they're all trying to compete for, you know, this automation of process. And, you know, it seems like, you know, I met with a few of them yesterday and, you know, kind of said, hey, you kind of sound like this is the same technology, but just a different spin on it. And obviously they all have their own differentiators, but there's probably 20 companies that I saw yesterday that were talking automating something within the workflow. And obviously there, you know, our perspective is very much, you know, providers, healthcare companies are looking at their workforce dynamics. You know, being able to recruit, retain, and keep people is really difficult. And obviously the other kind of compounding factor is you have to pay them. You don't have to pay an automated RP robot, right? So, you know, I think it's obvious that, you know, there is a ton of interest in that space. And I think it's just going to, you know, extrapolate this, you know, movement towards, you know, automating as much as we possibly can.
Completely. And the power of automation is what you're seeing throughout the retail sector, the restaurant sector, all these other sectors is how can you sort of normalize some of the labor costs and labor needs, and it's just not just labor costs. People can't even fill some of these spots. So how can you make yourself less dependent upon what is a very much changing labor force, and how could you automate things to sort of cut those bullpens from 1,000 people to 700 people, whatever the number is, where those extra 300 people are so hard to hire anyways. And it's really a fascinating question as to on so many levels, but there is this race to what can be automated, what can make people a little bit less dependent upon so much labor, and so forth. And there's hard questions there. Rick and Matt, I want to thank you both for joining us with your special report on what you're seeing at HIMSS. Always a pleasure to hear some of your thoughts. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.